This is Todd Steed for WUOT. You know what? I love museums, so I can't tell you how excited I am about the National Museum of African American Music. Not only is it going to open this September, which is grand enough, it's going to be in Nashville. It's 56,000 square feet, and it helps people that want to discover the central role that African Americans have played in shaping and creating all different types of American music, from classical to country to jazz, hip-hop, and well beyond. So how am I going to find out about this place? Well, I called up and I talked to Tamar Smithers, the Director of Education and Public Programs for the museum. I asked her how long she'd been in her post.
I have been on the project since March of 2019, so a little over a year.
Oh, wow. And can you tell me exactly what you do on a daily basis?
So I oversee all of our educational programs and initiatives. And on a daily basis, it can vary from day to day. I am currently working on quite a few projects that will be in place by the time we open. So we have our Rivers of Rhythm curriculum that we're working on that will be in alignment with our permanent galleries, and that will be geared towards students in grades 3 through 5, and will follow ELA and music standards. Also working on a volunteer and docent program to engage the community even further inside the museum. Work on various different programs for adults and youth, and I like to say students of all ages, that really offers an opportunity for us to engage the community. We operate as a museum without walls right now because we're still building the museum. And so what that means is all of our programs and events have been in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area, and even beyond, across the nation when we're putting on these public events and programs that we do.
Right. And how has the pandemic messed it all up, you know?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that it messed it up. It definitely had us pivot our programs. And so our goal was to have a national reach with our programs anyway. So what I would say is that this really allowed us the opportunity to assess the programs that we had in person, and see how we could pivot them and transport them into a digital and virtual platform. And what we have noticed is that we have been able to engage thousands of more audience members, not only here in Nashville, but across the nation with our programs that we have transitioned to a digital and virtual platform.
Yeah. And what is your background? How did you get into this field? It's kind of a fascinating field. You must have an interesting background.
Yeah. So I am a vocalist and performer as well. So I bring that creative aspect to the table. I did my undergraduate studies at Syracuse University Department of Drama. And so I have a BFA in acting. And then I got my master's degree from Lemoyne College in Syracuse, New York, in arts administration and higher education leadership. And so I have always been a lover of music, the arts. And I know that it is a powerful tool that can be used to really just change lives and provide outlets for people who are dealing with some challenging times. And so I enjoy being one of the persons that is able to bring access to music and the arts in general to students of all ages.
Yeah, and I mean, it's no secret, you know, now is like a very tense time in America, and
right.
and a time of reckoning, quite frankly, right. You know. How can what you're doing and music help our society, our culture?
Is an outlet for people who are dealing with some challenges and some issues in life. But we also know that music is the great unifier. So music has the power to bring people from all cultural backgrounds together for a cause. And so I really see the museum as a space that not only preserves the history of what we have gone through as a nation, as a country, in terms of music and the contributions that African Americans have made towards American music, but also as a platform for the voices. We have a lot of voices that are able to, in this moment, I think, really be comfortable with speaking out against injustices and things of that nature. And I really see us as a platform and a vehicle for those artists and community members who want to be able to address these issues and use music as that sort of vehicle for those conversations and those discussions.
And growing up in Knoxville in the 60s, and I found that, you know, here music was this special place where people of different backgrounds could find their commonality and hopefully work together on things, you know.
Absolutely.
And I'm hoping to see more of that.
Yes. You know, and I hope so too. And I really feel that we're on a good path right now as a nation, even globally. You know, this movement, it started here in the States, but we're seeing, you know, people speaking out and using their voices all over the world. And so I do think that we're on a good track for that. My hope and what I'm invested in doing is making sure that we sustain that energy. We keep those conversations going. And so it's not just a trend. It's not just a topic that's here for a few months because we have time to pay attention now because of the pandemic, but it's something that we continue through and can keep the conversations going.
Right. That's kind of, you know, it's something I've been talking about with some friends is how, you know, there seems sometimes to be this momentum for change.
Right.
And then something else happens, you know,
right.
And then people go on to that, which is normal. But this is an interesting point that I think people are looking more closely, maybe because it just feels like now's the time.
Yeah, I feel like it feels like now's the time. I feel like sort of the, I would say, quote unquote, silver lining to this pandemic is it really slowed everyone down. People are in their homes. They have nothing to do but pay attention to what is going on. They don't have sort of outside distractions. And so with that being said, it really offered an opportunity for us to really see what's going on and really be involved in creating change and being agents of change for the challenges and the issues that we go through.
And again, when's your opening date?
So we are still on track for our September opening. You know, the pandemic did have some delays with some of the construction and things like that, but we are still on track for opening in sometime September-ish.
And tell me again the location.
So we are going to be in the heart of downtown Nashville, Tennessee on 5th and Broadway.
Oh, wow. So you may get a lot of walk-in traffic.
Yeah, we're hoping. We're hoping that we do get a lot of walk-in traffic. We're hoping that we get tourists that will come and visit the museum. But we're also very committed to, and let me say this, while we have our Museum Without Walls program right now, and we're engaging the community outside of the walls, we are so very much committed to ensuring that we continue that engagement once we do open and we have, you know, ongoing scheduling throughout the museum walls. We're going to continue to engage the community with our programs outside the museum walls as well. So while we welcome the tourists and we want them to come and be a part of it and really just maybe experience some things and information that they may not have known prior, we definitely want this to be a space for Nashvillians and people to come and really see themselves in the museum and feel like they are part of it.
And how big is it going to be, like physically big?
So we are 56,000 square feet. So huge, huge facility. We are the anchor tenant for this development. There will be some retail spaces. There will be some eateries. We're right across the street from the Ryman Auditorium, historical Ryman Auditorium in Bridgestone Arena. And so we couldn't think of a better location for us to have this museum than right there in downtown Nashville.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many places the museum could have gone.
Right.
And I mean, it could be New Orleans, it could be Memphis, it could, you know, there's just so many places, Detroit.
Right.
How did Nashville get it?
So that question comes up a lot. This has been a project that has really been 20 plus years in the making. And it has really picked up steam, I would probably say, within the last 10 years. You know, it had some drive in the beginning and then there were some lulls, but I would say probably within the last 10 to maybe even 15 years, it really picked up steam. And so the question is, you know, Nashville, the national perception is that it's known as a country music city. And so there's so much history for Black music, African-American music in Nashville that people do not know about. The historic Jefferson Street had so much energy where musicians, national musicians, would come and play in these different clubs on Jefferson Street, and people don't know the history. And so we like to think of it as a story that needs to be told. And so we're hoping, and we are so excited to be able to tell the story of the history of the contributions that African-Americans have made to music, but also really touch on Nashville is not just country music. And we love country music, right? But it's more than that.
Yeah, and you know, and I watched that that Ken Burns documentary on country, and I didn't realize even there the contributions.
And absolutely.
And the Grand Ole Opry, you know, which changed, was something much different than it became. I didn't have any idea about a lot of that.
Yeah, I believe it was known as the WSM Barn radio show, and the legend is that, well, no, the truth is that the legendary D4 Bailey performed on that stage as their first African-American performer, and really gave it its moniker and its name, Welcome to the Grand Ole Opry. And so from there, it just stuck.
Wow, that's fascinating. Now, have you been to the new Smithsonian Museum in D.C.?
Yes, I have been 3 times.
Yeah. And
absolutely love it.
And what did you think about, so they have the music section up on, I guess, the top floor, right?
Right, right.
What did you think about that? How was that going to, you know, does that factor in any way to what y'all are doing, or is there a tie-in?
Well, definitely. You know, we are all peer institutions, and so we definitely have looked at, you know, not only the Smithsonian, but other music museums as well, I'm sure, during this process. But how I feel and how I think that this particular project is different is we're able to cover much more content. We're able to cover much more genres, subgenres. We're able to house many more artifacts. But we are really looking at it from telling the history of African-American music. And while other spaces might highlight a particular genre or a particular artist or a company, a record company, I think what makes us unique is that we're really telling the historical story of African-American music.
I mean, it's such a huge story.
It is. It is.
It had to be. I mean, it had to be for the people putting it together. It had to be just daunting. I just can't imagine.
Absolutely. I often say I wouldn't want to be to have that task to do that. Because it's like, how do you pick and choose what you include, right? You know, the narrative is set for all of our permanent galleries. And so unfortunately there are artists, there are genres, there are things that are not necessarily in the narrative or in the script that we're not able to highlight just because we're not able to highlight everyone. So I really see the way that we do that is through our public programs and events that we do, where we can highlight a specific artist who's not necessarily mentioned in the story narrative, or a specific genre or musical movement that's not mentioned. And I see our programs as an opportunity to do that.
You know, I used to live overseas, and I lived in Asia, and people would come to me and ask me what I loved about America. And or you know, ask them what about the United States was interesting to them. And it's amazing how African American culture was pretty much, in some cases, responsible for 80% or 90% of what people liked. And I have a jazz show, so I mean that's a no brainer. But I, you know, do you anticipate getting a lot of people from around the world coming to see this?
Yes, we anticipate it. We welcome it. And to your point, I really think that speaks to sort of the influence that African-American music has had, not only here in America, but just globally. Like, you look in, you know, Asian countries, hip hop is probably one of the most consumed musical genres globally. And so it just speaks to the power of music and how it can influence various different elements.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't wait. You know, I can't wait.
Hey, thank you. We can't either.
When I heard it was in Nashville, you know, I was so excited because it just seems like Nashville's just booming. It is booming.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And I mean, it's one of the biggest stories that you can tell. So I can't wait to come see how it's told. I can't wait to see it.
Yes, you know, this is such a monumental and historical project, and I really consider it an honor to be a part of it. And I have no doubt that come opening day, I will need a whole box of Kleenex tissues, because it will just be amazing to see the fruition of all of our blood, sweat, and tears that we have put into this project manifest. So definitely excited for that. Thank you.